Staying alive, sustaining alive. Sustaining alive.
Sustaining alive on 95 BFM.
Garden Bird Survey with Rita Steele.
Yeah, one of my favourite times of year.
Bird watching, ornithology.
I love bird watching. I don't get to do it enough.
I like bird listening. I don't.
Oh, you like bird listening?
I find that bird watching is a little bit
too easy. Yeah. I'm too easy for you.
It's kind of almost too hard.
Oh, really? You like the? That's interesting. Have you ever gone kiwi listening?
Oh, that's, I'm of the elk that kiwis don't even exist because I've never actually seen a real one in real life.
Well, maybe, yeah, well, I suppose going listening to them isn't really going to convince you, though, is it? You want to see it. Interesting.
Just go now, walking with my dog kind of
Reader,
thing.
I have done a quick Google, Google Garden Bird Survey, and I've got two results here.
Cheating.
One for the NZ Garden Bird Survey Home, which is on the Landcare Research site, and there is one on birdsnz.org.nz. Which one am I after?
This is the Landcare Research Garden Bird Survey. Okay. I would hope they're the same dates. I'm not pointing to the same thing, because it's actually part of there's actually a global one that this feeds into, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's one of the biggest citizen science projects that we run every year. So that's an opportunity to get for your average Joe blogs to get involved in science, which is pretty cool.
It's actually on right now.
It is until Sunday. So you have an opportunity to be a scientist if you want to and get involved in data. So it runs till Sunday, and what is required is an hour of your time, and you select a garden or a park or a school or some, you know, a space that is, you know, ticks a box of being garden-like, and then you just watch and listen and record all the birds that you observe in the hour that you're there. You can even, if you know the sounds of the birds, you're also allowed to record the ones you hear as well.
Okay. Now, I've got a family of sparrows which live in under one of the eaves at my house, and it's sort of quite a busy, high-traffic sparrow area. Do I count them going in and out of the nest as like, oh, wow, that's another bird?
No. So the trick here is to only count the largest number of birds you see at once. So if you see one coming and going, then you only record one. Okay. If you see two at once, then you can record the two. If you see 10 at once, you can record the 10.
And is it you get to sort of keep all the birds that you catch kind of game, or how does this work?
No, unfortunately you can't, and that is illegal, just in case you're going to go out there with a net. It also sounds like a total nightmare, because birds aren't that easy to keep. So don't keep them, just record them, and then you want to submit that into the Landcare Research site. And even if you don't see anything, they want that information as well. It's actually very important to put that in if you haven't seen anything, because that's a really important data point. So we're at day two of this, because it started on the 26th of June, and we've seen almost 700 surveys come in, and 30,000 birds have been seen already in 93 different species. So we were chatting just before we went on air about some of the species that you may see, and you sound like you've got a few more unique ones in your garden, Johnny, than I do in mine.
Get a couple of ducks. Yeah. And get some ducks every once in a while.
Yep, ducks.
Fucking Christ, sounds like Shangri-La down around Johnny's place, actually.
It does, doesn't it? It's quite a high traffic
I actually have peacocks and stuff at my house. I got peacocks and ostrich. They're just roaming around. It's totally cool. No big deal. I don't talk
Where do
about
you
it
live? What? I feel like you're like, I'm on the edge of the zoo.
Powell Island?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Just
cool.
Right next door to John's place, actually.
There's a photo comp as well for those of you that are into taking photos.
Mm-hmm.
This is a long-term study, so I have had questions in the past about like why, you know, wouldn't think that the weather impacted or you know, whether there's construction going on next door or whatever. So the idea behind this is that, you know, the mass amount of data and the long-term nature of it helps kind of, I guess, flatten out some of those odd peaks and troughs. And also they do have some like fancy software behind this that helps take out some of that data noise, I think is what they referred to it as. So, yeah, I mean, for me, I think it's just a really good excuse to sit in your garden and have a beer or two and do nothing for an hour but count the birds. And also maybe just learn a little bit more about birds. What I've found is, like, you know, the more you look out for them, take an hour out of your life and learn about them, then you start spotting them in your life. You know, you start noticing them more and kind of they bring a little bit of joy to you, you know, which is really cool. So especially the really pretty ones. So, you know, whenever I see a kerata, they always make me smile, or, you know, tui, even if they're trying to dive bomb another bird, you know, you notice them and it's cool.
Little shit.
Yeah.
There's actually not that many birds on the Landcare Research website. There's only 27 different types of birds that you might see in your garden.
How many of these birds are in Tiri Tiri Matangi?
There'll be a lot more in Tiri Tiri Matangi because they've got a lot of birds that are, you know, that wouldn't survive in the urban area.
So more than John's place?
Yeah, probably a few more than John's place. Probably Landcare just doesn't have all, like, the Landcare Research do a lot of work on researching the land, believe it or not, and so they're not really the major hub for the information on the birds. Like, I think if you wanted to get, you know, if you had an odd bird and you were like, I just don't know how to identify this, you're probably better going into Birds Online or something like that, that will have, that's actually got a great search engine for, like, you know, it was blue and it, you know, it had a thing on its head or whatever. So there's probably other places to have a look for what exactly the bird is. And Landcare Research is more of a, you know, a data collection kind of point, who are organising this rather than, you know, somewhere like a Birds Online or whatever. So, it's a pretty simple process. There's some interesting research that's come out of it. So we have seen some increases in a few of my favourite birds, which is great news. The fantail has seen a significant increase in the last 10 years. The tui, kereru, they've seen a 52% increase in kereru, which is great news.
Any of these birds threateningly getting too many together and we're worried that they're forming some kind of flock that could make a fist and crush humans?
No, although I was really happy to see that there was a very, very decrease in the starling. Starling's known as the world's most successful bird, but it's actually, you know, like they're birds that just take over, really. So, and they're quite aggressive. Same with the minor, that was in the decrease, which is great to see. I mean, only very, very decreases.
I feel like the albatross might not get seen by many people. Is it going okay?
Not in their gardens. No, not in their gardens. I mean, if it is, it's probably sick. or if you're at the beach, you know. If you're at the beach, you may see an albatross at your backyard. But yeah, your average urban garden, you wouldn't tend to see an albatross.
Albatross is my favourite. They just sit up in the air, cruising around.
They're pretty amazing. But you might, you're not talking about a mollyhawk, you're definitely
talking about the albatross.
Okay, good work.
I don't.
So yeah, and if you're really interested in kind of that data that they are getting out of there, there's some really good graphs on the Landcare Research and site under resources, so you can have a little dig around and see how things have been doing. I played around with there for a while and thought that's exciting. And that data is also really helpful. You know, I've been doing bird surveys in the Waitakere Ranges for a while, and I access some of that data to, you know, compare with what I'm seeing, which is slightly more intensive, and that's what a lot of other scientists will use that data for. So they'll tap into that data as well. So it's really helpful to have everyone get involved and get this kind of mass collection.
Sounds almost good for the CV.
Go on.
You know what
you're
I mean?
A citizen scientist. Put it on your CV.
I like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like, oh, don't worry, I was just doing all this cool stuff, you know.
Yeah. I mean, citizen science is awesome. I absolutely love it. It's
citizen science.
It's something that, you know, like something that seems so, you know, science can seem a little intimidating, I guess, and it's a great way to actually be involved and be super helpful to people that can crunch the numbers better than you can, you know.
I'm tying in this evening's proceedings with Mata TK ticket we've got to give away, and he's got a song called The Albatross.
Toroa. Cool.
There you go. So I'm going to play that in a minute, and then people can win prizes. So that's all exciting.
Great news.
All right, Rita Steele, thank you very much for chatting to us this evening. For
no
those
worries.
Of you that are interested, you can just Google garden bird survey and you're away.
Yeah. Go forth and count.
Is there any kind of trees or fruit, like plants I could plant to get more garden birds around my house, just low-key?
Absolutely. Corphi is a really good one. I find that brings in natives and you can, there's lots of different sizes. So if you don't have a big garden, you can just get a little one. And they're really pretty because they've got yellow flowers.
Yeah,
they're awesome. You know, if you've got a bit more space, taro or piriri, a tree lucrin, and I'm not exactly sure what the Māori name for that is. I've only just discovered that bad boy recently, but I get a lot. We've got a few on our property, and we get a lot of birds in it. Neko are really good. Cabbage trees even are really good.
Oh yeah.
Just kind of most native if they've got
Makes sense.
Yeah, but if you don't have a lot of space, the corphi is a really good one because you can get miniature corphi. They flower really pretty. You know, they don't get much. You can get ones that are not any taller than a person, and they bring in. I've seen kereru on my tiny one. I don't know. They sort of like they sit on the branch and the branch like falls over. It's quite hilarious. And I've seen some tui, which I think they're having the pollen maybe. Flax is another great one to bring in the tui. They love flax.
All right, let's go to the little dinosaurs. Awesome.
Awesome, guys. Have a good week.
Thanks, Rita.
See ya.
That was Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95 BFM.